Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nick Tressler. We've got co-host today.
I am not Kurt Ozon. My name is Matt Burrell.
And we have our special guest, Mr. Ty Stelk.
What's up?
Thanks for being here, brother.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. We are recording this during CMA week, so it's, I'm sure, chaos for you.
Yeah, it's a busy week. We just got into town today, and so we've got, it's just, I was just telling Allie on the way here, I was like, I'm so turned around. I don't even know what day it is. Just from touring in general, but then like this next couple of days are fixing to be hammered. Then we got CMA Fest, Louisville with Ian, and then we go Railbird, Decatur, Alabama, then Bloomington, Illinois. We're just...
And Decatur, Alabama, and Bloomington, Illinois, you are on the Raised Rowdy stage.
That is right.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you at those.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
And we just got a chance to have you pop up at our event at Skinny Dennis.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you guys
for
that.
So great, man.
I literally saw that flyer. Mm-hmm. I was like, dang, that'd be fun to do. And then it just happened perfectly, so...
Yeah, we actually had our buddy Colton Dawson. He was supposed to play it, and then he had a video shoot that day. Yeah. So it worked out perfect.
Yeah.
And they were like, can Tice pop up for a song? We're like, yeah, absolutely.
Tice can play a whole set.
Yeah, and they were like, is it okay if he plays the whole set? I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
No, it worked out good. That was fun, man. That was a good evening.
It was so great. And it's funny, too, because, you know, the other two girls, I'm sure, probably looked up Colton because he was supposed to be on it with them. But when they heard you kick into the first song when you were singing Adeline, they were like, okay.
I never do Adeline first. I don't know why. I just...
That's like, a statement, man.
Screwed, I guess. I don't
know. if you open an acoustic set with Adeline, that is one way to get the attention in the room. If they don't know, they're going to know real quick.
Yeah. Exactly.
So. I was like playing that in my head, and I was like, what a move. And like, that's a way to make sure the room knows who you
that's
are.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I've never done that. And Kenny had just sang his ass off, so I was like, man. Here we go.
You're like, let's do it.
Yeah.
It's funny. One of the first times we had, I think the first time I had Caitlin Butts play around.
Yeah.
Like right when her and Cleto moved here, she kicked off with White River.
Yeah.
And again, another song. It's just like vocal prowess.
Grabs it right away.
Just grabs your attention.
Yeah.
So it must be something down there in Red Dirt Country that
something, man.
Sets that up.
Cooking. So.
No, and it's super cool to see that scene, and honestly, like, I would say you're a new traditional guy, right?
Yeah, well, and that's like kind of the funny part. Like, I got started in New Mexico, really, but like, I started playing more like live gigs and stuff in Lubbock.
Yeah,
but like, Adeline is like by no means a Texas country song. No. You know what I mean?
So it's like, its own thing.
Yeah, but
it's like soulful.
Yeah, and so I don't like, but that's what I grew up on, like Turnpike and like. Randy Rogers, man, like those guys, those are my troubadours, you know what I mean? And so like I mean the scene down there is just awesome, you know. Mm-hmm. And the writing, the storytelling, it's just so earthy to it, you know. So
I hear that, and I mean, you know, your family has been, of course, playing music for literally forever.
I mean,
so you get it on us for sure.
1934, and so it's just been. And, like, I didn't play at all growing up. Like, I got a guitar when I was 10, just like everybody else. But also, just like everybody else, I picked it up and put it down for 8 years, you know. And then when I finally picked it up, just thankfully kind of came to it naturally. And then that's when I started playing the steakhouse gigs to two people and stuff like that. And so then moved to Lubbock, the Blue Light and all that. And so, but, yeah, my family, they were super supportive. And, I mean, my dad gave me I had a lot nicer of a guitar than I needed when I first started. You know, I mean, they made sure I had everything I needed to be successful in it. Yeah. So.
And I'm sure good advice as well.
Yeah, they did. I mean, and that's one thing, too. Like, my dad would tell me when I sucked. You know, like, if I did a song, he'd be like, yeah, no more of that shit. Like, you know.
It's important to have.
It is. I mean, some people don't have that, you know. Some people don't have somebody telling them they suck at everything, at anything, you know.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing, too. And, I mean, if you look at, like, the pro athletes that are the best, like, a lot of times their dads were there and were, like, helping them make sure they kept their work ethic up.
Well, and that goes back to just, like, how we grew up, too. Because, like, we were, like, both my parents are perfectionists. And, like, they do everything so well and, like, to the top of their ability. So, like, if we were going to do it, like, it wasn't going to be half-assed, you know. And so they made sure that anything we did – wasn't half-assed, and so.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that you see, you know, no matter if you're poor or rich, if you have a good work ethic.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that comes from, you know, how you were raised and your
family. It is, and that's like, before I started playing music, I was working for a cattle guy there in Lubbock, watching some wheat cattle and like, we were cutting some wheat and stuff and just like planting cotton, stuff like that. But I mean, life is hard regardless. Like, you just got to embrace the suck and work mm-hmm. through it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
life is just tough nowadays, you know? And so it's just with anything.
Yeah.
You know, the music deal is so hard. And like, especially at a guy at my level, it's like, it's so saturated right now with guys, you know, and like the TikTok thing has made it even more saturated because everybody's so talented. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many guys that are just like, boom, we're here. And it's like, everybody's talented. It's like, shit, you got to fit them in, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I like to say that it's almost like if you look at the musical journey as like a highway. Yeah. It's easier than it's ever been to get on the highway, but you're sitting in like traffic, like you and Allie were in on the way over here. There's more traffic to get to the destination, like, the ETA on Google Maps keeps going up.
I specifically remember like when Adeline was doing its thing, Saul and Holt, Tyler Nance, and Benny G too were all having their moments too at the same exact time, mm-hmm. you know, and so like it was just that was crazy for me because now like we're all here and we're all working our asses off, you know what I mean? And so it's just like that's such a great analogy.
Bro, and you just put a thought in my head. I'm gonna make it a goal that in the next year I have the four of you on a round together.
Yeah, that's because
all four
man.
Of those guys have been playing our events where I'm like,
that would be the best round ever.
I'm like, maybe we make that. I know Benny isn't like the most West Turn, but maybe that's a West Turn. Can you imagine Kurt on Dobro with that?
He loves Benny so much.
Solon is so good. Tyler's so good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's like, I'm so thankful too. Like when we got started, the Evergreen, who books all my shows, we've played like, I've been touring since September, and I think we've played over 60 live shows. Like,
that's great.
Yeah. He is. And before then, I had only played like two full band live gigs. Like, you gotta play the live gigs. And so, like, even nowadays, like I saw a video of me playing 2 weeks ago, and I looked like a doofus on stage. Like, I'm still learning, you know, stage presence and stuff like that. And that stuff is just so crucial. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In the long run. And that's an interesting thing too. It's like, you get to watch yourself back, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
Like, exactly.
And you'll see it, you know, in short form clips that someone took, or of course, if you have anybody recording it for yourself.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like, I was singing on stage and my feet were like out like that. Like, I looked like a total doofish, man. I was like, man, I gotta walk around.
It happens, man. I wanted to get your thoughts on like the guys on that have similar team to you that are over in at Riverhouse and stuff with of course Hudson Westbrook and Kenny Whitmire, who you did West Turnt with. And I know Hudson was one of the first guys that you got to go out and open for, and he's another guy with a history in Lubbock.
Yeah, dude, those shows are so fun. Like the two at Kane's Ballroom and then Vegas. Those shows are a blast. It's I love those shows. I mean, they're massive, you know.
That's the crazy part too. If you're going from only playing a couple full band shows to getting to have really cool experiences like
to opening for Hudson when he is on the rocket ship.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, that's those are so fun. But we've also last November we played a little bar in Texas, and I think there was 25 people there too. Mm-hmm. You know, like we've had the
both sides.
I mean, we've experienced both sides of it, but that's like, it's the proof's in the pudding with just the live show aspect on how, like, as far as building a career, like when you look at guys like Treaty, Parker, Cody, you know what I mean? Like
100%.
If you just put an ass in a seat over and over and over and over again, like it's bound to catch on, you know? Yep. And so that's the way we're playing it. Like, Adeline gave such a good foundation to get started, thankfully, you know, but we're grinding it out right now for sure. So
no, I mean, and honestly, that's a blessing because like we hear a lot of times from younger artists that they can't even get club shows booked.
Yeah.
Because it's gotten harder and harder to get people out of their house, off of their phone on TikTok live and into a physical seat.
Yeah. You know? Well, and like another thing with how saturated it is. Like, it's a blessing and a curse because you can be playing north of Houston, but then Parker McCollum's playing in Houston. And who do you know what I mean? Like, where do you think everybody's going?
Yeah.
You know?
That's one of the things we talk about with these festivals is it's like, it's such a good way to see the full live show.
Yeah.
And you get to see four people on the Rage Roddy side stage each day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, this person was great. Or like this person, I liked even better than this person. Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. You'll find the people that hopefully that become super fans of you.
Exactly.
And go buy a t-shirt over at the merch booth.
Yeah. Yeah, please.
You know, that's how you keep the gas in the tank.
Yeah.
But I think that's such an important part of it. And it's interesting too, because it's like, you know, social media is so up and down, right? Yeah. I mean, that's how
we were talking about that on the way over here. Like, anytime I post a video of Adeline, it's like, boom, thousands of views. Anything else, like, maybe 5,000. Yeah. Which, still, I mean, still that's, I'm like, I remember posting videos back in the day and, like, getting 500 views. You know,
yeah.
I'm thankful regardless, but it's just so crazy, the ups and downs of it.
Yeah, and that's why it's, like, one of the things that, like, I've been talking to artists about is, like, hey, how can you get these guys' phone numbers? How can you get their email addresses?
Yeah.
Because then when the next song comes out, you can tell them.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for a video to go to a million people. You can take all 5,000 people that's phone numbers you have in your database, and you can send it to them so they can pre-save it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing, too, with technology. I mean, get it in front of as many people as you want, really.
100%.
Yeah, and something that you're going to be promoting here, we hear you got a new EP coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Everything But Gone. Everything Let's talk about gone. It.
Super proud of that song, man. I started writing that song on the way home the 2 days after I met my wife. Oh, like, and that. So that I've had that first verse for 3 years now. Like, and I just brought it into a room and they're like, dude, yeah, let's do it. And so that song came to life and it's kind of a different feel. I don't have anything like it yet, kind of more acoustic-esque. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, super proud of that whole project, man. There's not like just a whole lot of stories on that project, which I kind of struggled with sometimes because I like to like tell a story in a sense with a song, but melodically and just like the sounds of that EP is something I would proudly stand on. So
that's great. Who did you have produce it?
Ryan Newmans at Amber Sound.
And dude, Lucas, let's go.
And Lucas Scott, they co-produced it, man.
Shout out to the Amber Sound. I'm looking right at the camera because we love Ryan.
Yeah.
Nikki used to live there.
Oh, really?
Upstairs. I lived above.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Muscadine fulfilled all their merch out of there. We fulfilled all the Rage Roddy merch out of there. The one bedroom, we had like a janky makeshift podcast studio.
Yeah, a lot of cool pod. Like Ella was in that podcast studio, a bunch of people. Yeah, and I'd go over, because I live out here in Hermitage too, I'd go over to the Amber Sound and do work. And that was like the early days of Nick and I working on Rage Rally together like 3 years ago was all at the Amber Sound.
Yeah, no, I love Ryan and Lucas, man. They've got such a good ability of just listening to me as the artist and like being able to bring it to life. Like there's a song on that on this EP called What Would You Do, and I struggled. We were gonna put it as a single and then we didn't, and it's like it could have easily went in so pop, and so we ended up working on that one song I think for like 9 hours, just the drums of that song. Like it took so long, but it turned out so cool, man.
I love that. Yeah, like listening to the EP, there is some different kind of sounds on it, you know? So I assume that was intentional, or is that just kind of like the thing that was the best collection of?
I think it's just like, I mean, a lot of it is like my favorite songs I have at the moment, you know? But then too, like I've always like, my catalog, there's not going to be a lot of like consistency, I don't think. Yeah. Even like as far as like what I write about to the sound, just because like Roland has... There's Roland and As Long As I Got You, and then I have like Adeline. You know, like there's not like, I don't know the genre of my music yet, really. And that takes time to learn, you know. I mean, I'm only a year and a half into this. And so
you're very early into this thing.
And so, I don't know that it was an intentional, but I also don't have a problem with not being consistent, just because, like, in a project, I'd love to touch on my bases and have a honky tonk and then go to a soulful rock. And you know what I mean?
Yep.
That way everything gets covered as far as the listeners and what they're preferences, you know?
The consistency with it is your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're a vocalist, bro. You've got a voice that immediately, and it's something that Nick first had mentioned to me, like when we became buddies, was you gotta have that distinct voice.
Yeah.
And you are the definition of that,
cool,
brother.
Man. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's cool, honestly, because, I mean, again, every project, every song, but more so like an EP, is like, where are you at right now?
Yeah.
That's why I've always loved the EPs in general, because it's like a lot of people, albums are great, and that's like a statement. Yeah. But the EP is like, here's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's cool for me when I think back, like I even remember like when we, in the early days of Rage Rowdy, I'd do like my 6 favorite EPs from the year.
Yeah.
Because often, especially in like where we live, which is kind of artist discovery, seeing people on the come up before they're like as big as selling stadiums, you know, which is something that it's a blessing we get to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, here is the, okay, this is a moment in time. And at this moment in time, here's where they were.
Yeah.
Which I think is super cool.
I think so too. And that's like we live in like a world of singles nowadays, just with everybody's attention span, you know, but
for sure.
I think it's cool that an EP, like you said, it kind of like, it's kind of in a sense an update, like, okay, this is what the artist has been doing, working on, you know, this is, oh, they've got kind of a new look on the cover art, like, oh, this is a new sounding song. So it just kind of, it gives the listener an update of who the artist is in a sense. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think EPs are great for introductions too.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
very good.
Sure.
Like I think back to talking about the Amber Sound and the Muscadine Boys, that self-titled EP that they put out first, and the moving on, like the, you've said this before, where it's like if you took those first three EPs, it'd be the greatest, one of the greatest debut albums that we've ever seen.
For Muscadine. Yeah. And like they put out all those singles and EPs, and I was like, if you put that into one album, you would compare that to like Luke Combs' first record. You know, like just hit power, the amount of songs that had their fan base going crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing.
And it was all signs of where they were during that like 2.5-3 year period.
Yeah.
You know, and you've seen how much they've changed over the years.
They're kicking ass, man. They're gonna be on my Spotify Wrapped for sure.
Yeah, they're on mine every year.
And the new record. Dude.
I always like, that was one of the coolest parts about living there, was getting to like hear things as they're being made. Like Cole Goodwin had me come down and do gang vocals with his mom on a song.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
And like Brill got to like do an intro for Austin Snell.
Oh, really?
Austin effing Snell.
Yeah. Oh my. That's his
tour. That's me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I didn't
and
know
then
that.
Just getting to hear Muscadine's music bleeding through and they were cutting records.
And I'm trying to think to remember the name of the record, because it was when they were like
Was it Weisenhauer?
Like that era was what they were recording, and Ryan would come up and mix in the makeshift podcast studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Nick and I would be there. We had like a little he would call us in and ask us how it sounded sometimes,
because
he knew we were such big fans of Muscadine, where he's like, what do you boys think of this?
It's cool too. And honestly, for me, like I was just a music fan. So moved to town, still a music fan. Then I worked at like a record label for a while. So I got some of the industry knowledge and terms, but I never got to see, you know, it being made.
Yeah.
So getting to be around that, and I wasn't in it the whole time like they were, because I was doing
but
other
still,
stuff.
Just seeing the little aspects of it.
Yeah.
That,
it was cool. Just getting to, honestly, be fully engulfed in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, be around music at our events, but also, like, watching them be recorded, watch how many days they'd have each person in.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? I think the studio, like, my favorite part about the studio is, like, you go in and they'll give the musicians the charts, and then they just start playing it and it sounds right. Like, you know what I mean?
It's
like, it's incredible how well-versed and talented the studio musicians are.
Yeah.
You know? And so I love, like, hearing that first, like, all right, just start messing around with it. Let's see what we come up with, you know? And they just, the first time they've ever played this song and it's right. You know what I mean? Like, that part of it is super, super cool, too.
I love that, too. And that's one of my favorite parts about, like, the West Turn event.
Yeah.
Like where we had Josh Matheny.
Oh, dude, I loved that.
What a beast on that. And that was the fill-in. It was supposed to be Kurt. That was the guy that Kurt got to fill in for him because he was unavailable.
I mean, possibly the greatest fill-in of all time.
Yeah, honestly, the greatest. Yeah. We had two amazing fill-in. We had you fill-in and we had Josh fill-in. Yeah. Like, it just worked out so well, but he had never played on any of those songs, and it sounded perfect.
Yeah, it's so cool how some musicians can just improv anything like that. My fiddle player, and he plays fiddle and guitar, he's got the perfect pitch or whatever that term is called, where
perfect pitch,
where he can know what key and note it is right away. And it's so nice having him on the road because he's meticulous about things too, and like nobody can get away with anything. Like if we don't play an A7th chord, he's gonna let us know because he's super talented. Yeah, that's great. It's awesome.
What does your full band look like? Like, what are you bringing out on the road when you're
so
doing?
So I've got I got me acoustic, and then on my left is Jay Stoverspike. He's from Lubbock, Texas too, and he grew up. He's close with the Treaty guys. So nice. Treaty's lead Jeremiah is like his uncle. So Jeremiah and Jace's dad have been super close friends, and so Jace has like grown up on like rock and heavy, and like he is just a rock star. And then Garrett's on my right, and he does harmonies, fiddle, mandolin, acoustic guitar, and electric. Like he can kind of play anything with strings, which is so nice to have. And Garrett's the one that has it up here too.
Yeah, perfect pitch in the utility player.
Oh,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then Aiden Stobaugh, he's from Fort Worth, Texas. He's a bass player, and I met him through TikTok like 5 years ago. And I remember whenever I started putting a band together, I had seen a video of him playing the upright, the bull fiddle, the upright bass. And he had seen all my stuff on TikTok, and we were texting each other. And I just called him one day, and I was like, "Hey, do you play the bass?" And he's like, "I can a little bit." And I was like, "All right, well, like, send me a video of like you playing to like One More Last Chance. Like, that's a good song that has a pocket." And he crushed it. And so he comes with us, and he sings killer high harmonies too. And then Jamie, he's from Lubbock, he's on the drums, and he also tour manages for us too. He's older than all of us. Jamie's so like, get your ducks in a row, don't fart around.
Band dad.
Oh, dude, he is. I'd be able to do it without Jamie, but it'd be a lot freaking harder. Like, he's awesome.
No, I think that's what it's about too. It's like, that's one of the things that like people always ask. They're like, everyone's like trying to make it or trying to get their thing. I'm like, you have to have an army of people.
Yeah, dude, you do. And your support staff too, like your parents, your spouse. Like I'm young, but thankfully like my wife is like, it takes a hell of a spouse to be in this business, no matter what you do. Like,
yeah,
if you're a wife to a tour manager, good. You know what I mean? Like, and so luckily, like, she loved me before I was doing this, you know? And so she's great, and she does my merch. And then like my parents are supportive as it gets to like it. And then my band, we're all tight knit, everybody gets along, you know what I mean? I mean, we have our occasional troubles just like everybody else, but I mean, we're a band full of dudes, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I mean, yeah, everything, I've been super super blessed with just the team as a whole that kind of God's put me in. So
yeah, man, you need that. Now talk about the Opry stuff,
dude.
With the family,
to be honest, they all came on stage, like, in their suits and everything. And my entire family was at this show, and I didn't really think twice about it because all my life, everybody showed up to everything. Like, I've just been very blessed in that aspect. Like, whether it was a basketball game, whatever, like, everybody showed up. And so I kind of just blew it off, and they had hid all their sports coats from me, and so I didn't notice anything. And, they all came on stage right before Adeline. And so I honestly thought that they had learned Adeline and they were going to play Adeline with me. Because, like, my dad would have played lead, my Uncle Byron played the bass, Papa Joe could have farted around on the fiddle, and then my Uncle Mark on the drums. Like, that's what they play. And so I was like, maybe they do. And Jamie was in my talk back, like, hey, we're going to do something different. And then Sam, who's been my best friend all my life, comes on the road. He's kind of a stage manager, help. Hand, whatever. He was in my ears too, like, hey, take your guitar off. And I'm like, what is going on? And I could see a little tear in my papa's eye, and I'm like, what? I didn't know what it was about until he said it, like, genuinely. And it's, I mean, it was one of those things, like, it doesn't hits you until you hear those words, like you're actually gonna make your Opry debut. And I just, yeah, I didn't really know how to react, man. Like it was pretty wild. I just remember, like, I kind of blacked out for a second, and my dad had a buckle made for me, which was pretty neat too. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm already nervous for it. Like, I just hope I don't voice crack or anything like that on stage with it. I'll probably end up crying, but yeah, I'm pumped for it, man. It's going to be awesome.
It's such a legendary venue. It's like, that's one of the things that we always hear from people is just like the moments that you dream about, or even maybe don't.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm living my dream right now. I really am. Like, I'm playing music and I get to write songs and sing songs for a living. You know what I mean? And so, but anybody thinks of the Opry. Like, anybody and everybody thinks of the Opry.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's hard to put into words.
And
truly,
it's musical history, and you're from a family of musical history.
Well, and what's crazy is there's a band that is a member of the Opry called the Gully Jumpers. And I haven't done any research. I didn't know there was another band called the Gully Jumpers, but my great grandfather in the 30s and 40s, that's what his band was called, the Gully Jumpers. And so I saw that plaque in the Opry, and I called Papa Joe, and I was like, yo, is Papa Forrest a member of the Opry, bro? And he was like, no. I was like, oh, well, there's Gully Jumpers right here. I wasn't sure, you know? And so, but that was just a cool little connection, you know? Crazy. I'll have to do research on who that is.
Other band was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like it wouldn't be that common of a name, but.
Yeah, how many bands called the Gully Jumpers
I get
be?
Two of I know, but that's one more than I thought, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's so interesting. Do you guys have any like fun stuff planned around the release of the record, or is it like around any of your shows you have coming out?
I don't really know. I mean, next week. Wait, it's not next week, is it?
The 26th of June.
I don't know where we're going to be, honestly, man.
You're going to be the date. So when it comes out, I did this on the last pod I recorded. Shout out to Spotify because they put the events tab.
Nice.
And you can always look and see where everybody is. The night before, you were in Lubbock at Cook's Garage.
Oh, it's Cotton Fest?
And the night after, you're in Plano at Love and War in Texas. So the day that the project comes out, you're in Plano, Texas.
No, we're in Plano before Cotton Fest.
No, June 26th is what it says on here.
For
June 26th, Lubbock, Cook's Garage, yeah.
And then the 25th is Plano.
Yeah, to that weekend, it's Cotton Fest weekend.
Okay,
and
well,
the
that's
album
even better.
Cause,
yeah, that's even better because that's Lubbock. I had...
Yeah, so
no
you'll
clue.
Be so you'll be in a sense where this thing
where
started.
Where it started. That's gonna be
when
awesome.
The EP comes out.
That's gonna be so perfect, dude.
That's good planning, whether you planned it or not.
I definitely did not, but yeah. No, that'll be perfect, dude. That'll be awesome to announce.
That's and awesome. then before that, you'll be playing two Raised Rowdy stages,
yeah,
one at Tailgates and Tall Boys, which is a wild 4-day
so
festival,
pumped for
and
that.
Then Rock mm-hmm. the South.
We've
got
to leave after our show, though. Which one of my good friends is getting married, so we got to make it home. So.
Hey, smart. That's awesome. Smart. You're a good friend.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
a good friend.
But yeah, we were kind of wishing we could have stayed, but we got to make it home. So
these festivals, like I said, I think they're, I mean, I've always been a festival fan ever since I went to the first one.
Yeah.
My first festival was a rock festival when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I guess 18, you know, not a kid.
Yeah, but.
Still a kid. And then my first country festival, I actually have a tattoo of Country Concerts logo right here, which is a festival in Ohio. There's just something special about them.
There is.
And there's, artist discovery is lived at festivals forever.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like, you know, if you're going to a show and you have the headliner that you, of course, know, that's why you're buying the ticket.
Yeah.
And then you have the two, maybe three people that they are like vouching for and say that are in.
Yeah.
But a festival is, I mean, if it's 3 days, you're getting freaking 12 bands.
Yeah. Do you know who else is on your day for Rock the South? Off the top of your head, you probably don't, which is
like
okay.
Big X or
no, you're on the day Zach Topps headlining.
Oh, yeah.
Travis Tritt. Tracy Lawrence, the Castellos, and Cole Goodwin. The Creakers headlined the main stage, or headlined the Razor Audi stage that day. You're right in front of them, and then our friends Connor Hicks and Callie Prince.
Dude, that's gonna
so
be
you're
awesome,
on the same day. You're on Zach Top Day.
Dude, that's gonna be sick.
They knew what they were doing with your your love of traditional country music and your musical history to be on that day.
Yeah.
You'll get. To, have you seen a Tracy Lawrence, a Zach Top, or a Travis Tritt show before?
We saw Zach Top with 40 people in Roswell, New Mexico. In September of 2023.
Wow.
At a little bar in Roswell called the Liberty Theater. It was, he played on the little stage, and it was a Sunday night. And it was me, Owen Burton, Grady Hodnett, and my dad. We were like, my dad and I were tickled to death about Zach just because we'd seen his TikToks and everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we drove up. We got a picture with him. It's so crazy to see now. Like,
and now you're playing the same festival day as him.
Yeah. But yeah, there was like 40 people there, dude. Can you believe that? It was insane.
It's nuts how fast it can go.
Yeah. And, it was, he didn't even play on a stage. He was just, we were all eye level.
Like, we were just on the floor.
Yeah, it was a Sunday night, dude. Like, he was probably routing somewhere to Arizona or Cali and just getting a little extra gas money or something. It's like, nuts. There's no telling. But yeah, it was crazy.
That's like, that's some of my favorite experiences, the ones I think about the most. Like when Luke Combs was like on his radio tour.
Yeah.
He rolled through Pittsburgh and it was a Tuesday night free ticket, probably 30 people.
Isn't just that crazy? Him
and Rob Williford playing guitar for him.
Nobody cares until they do.
That's how
it
works.
Yeah. And you're with Zach the following week with us, also on a Thursday in Bloomington.
Dude.
The Bloomington one is the main stage is Zach, Gavin Adcock, Braxton Keith, Caitlin Butts, Cole Goodwin, the Creakers, you, and our good friend Eddie in the Getaway.
That's going to be awesome.
So we get you back-to-back weeks, and you're with Zach on both festivals.
Sick,
yeah. How cool is that?
Full maybe we'll have to have a Coors or a cigarette with him.
Oh,
honestly,
yeah.
We'll try. We'll figure something out. Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Cigs with Zach.
That'd actually be a great segment.
Honestly, yeah. We might have to do that. Ike, we're planning on that content at some point.
No, but it's super exciting to like watch your journey, like, really get rolling. And these festival stages, they're a breeding ground for making fans, man.
They are, man. And like when we did Two Step in I can't remember where Two Step is. I think it's
in Georgetown, Texas.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That was like our first big festival. Mm-hmm. And there was like, we played in front of like 3,500 people, man. And then unfortunately it got rained out our day, and we played. And then the band Perry played right after us. And then so we got to watch the band Perry and Big X. And then of just big old turd floater came in and rained us out. But like Shenandoah, Brooks and Dunn, Muscadine, we watched Muscadine that day too. But there was, Shenandoah, Brooks and Dunn, Caitlin Butts, the Costellos, Wyatt Flores, they all didn't get to play. But it's if you can put on, like if you're band and you can put on a show, those festivals are where you're gonna make fans.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, just because it's such a good opportunity to get in front of thousands of people, you know what I mean? Because like you said, they are there for the Big X's and the Brooks and Dunn. But if you go and be like, yo, I'm Tyce Delk, you know what I mean, and really put on a show and be authentic, they're liable to follow you and go to your next show, you know what I mean?
Yeah
I think that's the most powerful part about it, and honestly part of why I love festivals so much.
Yeah, what have been some of your favorite side stage? Because you've gotten to see you've been in the game so long, you've seen a lot of crazy side stage performances.
For sure. I mean, just thinking of like Country Concert, which is a festival I've been to, 15 years now.
Birthplace of Razor Audi, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out Country Concert. We love you, Bar Horse family.
Yeah, the Cadillac 3 I saw for the first time there.
Yeah.
And I then saw them 20 plus times after.
Yeah.
You know?
That type of experience.
Exactly. So you see them, and I was more honestly like that show, I was like very excited to see Sunday Best.
Dude. And then,
which is I love Sunday Best.
Love Sunday Best.
And then Cadillac 3 was also playing, and I was like, oh, I think I like these guys better than that. Which is very different stylistically, but both great.
Yeah.
You know? And then, I mean, dude, think about some of the moments we've seen.
Recently, I mean, in the past few years at that same festival, we saw Ella play the side stage. We saw Bailey Zimmerman play the side stage.
Like Gavin
play the side stage, which was freaking at a BYOB festival. Insane. We'll show you videos after. We see Hudson on that side, or Hudson's there this year.
Yeah, and then like we got to see John Langston. Like the first one I remember where I was like, no one else could fit in this area was John Langston, probably like 4 or 5 years ago. Were you there for that one?
No, that was before. That was before me.
It might have been pre-COVID.
I was, or it might have been post-COVID. I was still working for Trey.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But like, just the coolest part about that festival is like, it's a sectioned off area, and when it fills up and it's like full, you're like, whoa,
packed. Yeah,
it's probably 7,000 people, 8,000 people if it fills to the back.
That's awesome.
So where we're at, we're like selling merch by where like your guys' artist merch would be.
Yeah.
Right. So we just get to look out,
see everything,
and just see it all, and then like we'll kind of pop out and watch like from the side of the stage, kind of. But when you just watch, I remember we had Drew Parker in there, and I'll tell you this: that festival loves traditional country music, right? They love it. Like, so that is the bread and butter of what works there. So Drew was there, and we were in the front row just chatting with him as he was like sound checking. And he said, man, you think anyone here is even going to come over here to see me? I said, oh, Drew, you have no idea.
You're going to start playing.
Yeah. And then we were, you know, we did our best to be, we weren't like on the gate, but we were like five people deep. And he looked over, he's like, you were right.
Yeah. I remember having that thought too, because I had never been to a big festival like that. And so I didn't realize with multiple stages. And so I didn't realize like how it worked, but literally like they just, everybody will migrate.
They bing bong
to each stage, you know? And so we were sound checking, and there was like, or we were the first band of the day, actually. And so we were like, man, I hope some people show up, dude. And like I said, I mean, it ended up, there was like 35. I mean, it was crazy.
Truly. I love that. And that's one of the cool things, too, is like, the show will start. And then people hear it and they're like, oh, I got to go see what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. You see some heads turn, you know? Like, as an artist, it's like, so reassuring, because you see the damn, you know what I mean? Or like, oh, let's go listen. Like it's very encouraging.
Yeah. And then like Nick said, with the Cadillac 3 experience that he had, those will be people that'll ride and die with you every time you come back to that market, or you're within a few hour drive of that market.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things too, I always talk about, is like the experience, right? As the experience of a festival is, you're there with either friends that you brought, or new friends that you made.
Yeah.
And you guys are all in a shared experience together. You all were there because you love country music.
Yeah.
Right. And getting to experience that together makes your bond even deeper, but it also makes the bond deeper with the artist that you see. Yeah. And then every time someone sees you after you play Tailgate and Tall Boys, they're going to think about how much fun they had at that Tailgate and Tall Boys.
Oh, bro. You know? Yeah. Tailgates is wild. Yeah. That's one of my, we've been lucky to, this will be our fourth time like hosting it.
That'd
like,
be sick,
We've had, it's wild.
It's fun for that.
It's cool. And in Midwest fans, honestly, like I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Most people from Pittsburgh do not like Ohio. Ohio's like my favorite state. Yeah. But then I realized it wasn't just Ohio. It's just Midwestern people.
Yeah.
Like they're just so welcoming and so nice, and they want to drink cold beer and they do not want to fight. It's great.
They just want to drink and listen to music.
That's genuine.
Yeah. I'm like, that's what I like. Yeah. I don't want to watch 100 dudes fight each other.
Yeah.
You know, when some fuss and fight comes on or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like the fans, man. I mean, that's what it's all about.
It is. Yeah. That's like, I'm just trying to as I'm building fans and building my career, just trying to be as like authentic as possible and not like, and not put on a front no matter where I'm at. You know what I mean? Just like hop off stage right after show and just take pictures, sign, whatever, just talk to him. Just like, I'm just a normal dude too. You know what I mean? Like that's, I'm just trying to build it off that and be as genuine and authentic as I can.
I think that's a big part of it. And I even think like of, you know, think about Ella Langley and how big she is now.
Yeah.
But she still goes on and puts her makeup on on freaking live stream.
Yeah.
You know?
That's, people love that.
And she's given those people that intimate experience, even if it's just a couple each time she does it, you know? Yeah. But that also shows people like, hey, I put my makeup on for a freaking hour just like just you girls like you, do.
Yeah.
You know? Like that's
There's something to say about like the behind the scenes of this business and like seeing that part of it. It just brings like I think the fans appreciate it too.
For sure. You know? I think so, 100%. And that's like when we talk about stuff, I'm like, what part of yourself are you willing to give to the fans? You got to keep some for you.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to give some of that to your fans, that really can unlock
it goes
a different level.
Long ways, yeah.
You know?
So I got to ask, with it being CMA Fest, this is your first one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how are we feeling with amidst the chaos that's about to
I'm
be
I'm loving
upon
it.
You?
I don't know what day it is or anything like that, but I love staying 100 miles an hour and just go. I mean, that's like when I'm home for a couple of days, we're doing something. And so, like, I love the chaos. I mean, it's stressful, but, like, I'm thankful for it. Like, let's do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and you're getting to play Good Molecules Reverb stage, which is a stacked lineup this year. It is a stacked lineup. They did a great job with the side stages. And then you're doing the Ryman BMI block party, which is going to be sick as well.
That'll be fun, man.
Funny enough, I'm actually meeting my buddy Derek, who's like one of my best friends from college, at your set tomorrow.
I'll be out of town. It's my one weekend that I'm leaving. I know. Hey, I'll see you the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's
But no, man, it's exciting to watch it grow. And my buddy Derek was like, I don't know as many artists as I used to. And he's like, who's good? I'm like, meet me at Tysdale.
that's the Raise Rowdy rendezvous point for the start of CMA Fest. Yeah, meet us at Tysdale.
Sweet.
But man, thanks for taking time on this busy week.
Yeah, thank you guys, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate you, brother.
You bet.
Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Matt Burrell.
And this is the Raise Rowdy Podcast. Cheers.